is healing in the name of Jesus. There's an army rising up. There's an army, it's rising up. Oh, there's an army, it's rising up. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every... Let's stand and sing it. Well, there is power in the name of Jesus.
Church, I know there's power, and it's in the name of Jesus. Oh, I know there's power, and it's in the name of Jesus. We know there's power, and it's in the name of Jesus. Oh, He can break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Let's sing it again tonight. I know there's power, it's in the name. Jesus. Oh, I know there's power. Lord, I know there's power, and it's in the name of Jesus. Oh, he can break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord, come and break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Amen. Just play that softly tonight if you would. Amen. He's still a chain breaker tonight. Amen. We want to remember the requests that we had this morning, the different ones recovering from surgeries, and the friend of Sister Patty Hansel's that's been diagnosed with stage 4 kidney failure. Amen. Many needy requests, but we serve a God that's more than able. Amen. He's more than able. You feel his presence here tonight already? Amen. We're blessed. Brother Trevor, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Amen. I'm thankful tonight we have a place that we can take these requests to. Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we want to thank you tonight that you are a God that's broken every chain. Oh, when your Son died upon the cross and shed his blood for us, every chain was broken. Oh, God, it's only there but for us to believe, Lord, that you've already paid the price. God, every single one of us, though the devil would try to wrap us up in our minds and get us doubting and get us afraid and get us worried, but God, you've paid it all already. It's already done, and we're so thankful, Father. Oh, how our hearts are just well up inside of us to know that it's done, Lord. It's finished. Hallelujah. That's what you said on the cross. You said it is finished. God, all we just can do is praise you and thank you.
Yeah.
Humble ourselves before you and accept what you've already done. And believe that that price you paid was stronger than any lie, any doubt, any sin that we might think or commit. Oh, God, you've done it all. You've paid the price, Father. Not only for our doubts and our sins and all of our issues and problems, but God, you've every healing. Oh, God, every affliction that the saints might suffer tonight is already paid for. And Father, we just bind our hearts together, our faith together, Lord, and claim what's rightfully already ours. Father, come, Lord. We know you're already here in our midst. We can feel your presence, and we thank you. Lord, we know you're fulfilling your word, and may you be welcome, Father. May you walk in throughout this building, Lord, and speak individually and personally to every single heart tonight. God, change us, mold us, and make us in your image. Our hearts long to bring glory and honor to your name. May our lives praise your holy name. Oh, bless the word as it goes forth, and may it quicken our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated at this time. Brother Hooper's going to have a special for us.
Atmosphere like this, anything is possible.
To share something. I spent the afternoon with some folks, and we were sharing testimonies, and my soul was just about to explode listening to how God worked in their life. And then we come to church, and the presence of God is here. And I'm going to sing this song, "You Worship the Lord," as I sing it. Some people think that, you know, it's just a cute little song, but it really means something to me, because one day I was sitting on a denominational church pew, and he broke those chains and set me free. One day I was blind and I couldn't see the path in front of me, and he opened my eyes, and now I can see. One day I had deaf ears and couldn't hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he opened my ears one day and I got to hear the truth. I just love him tonight. He's so precious to me. You worship the Lord as I sing this.
I was working in town wondered what was happening there. When a young man came running from in that direction and stopped just to catch his breath. I asked him to please tell me why all the hurry. He smiled up at me and he said, did today. And the mute man was telling myself and the deaf girl he was leaving to answer God's call. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, 'cause he saw it all. My friend, if the troubles and the burdens you're carrying heavy and dragging you down, and you've tried everything you could possibly think of, and there's no relief to be found, that very same Jesus that altered the future of the blind, the deaf and the lame, he's still reaching out in your hour of trouble. One touch and you're never the same. You'll be trying to catch that crippled man. Did he run past this way? He was rushing home, gonna tell everyone what Jesus did today. It's hard to believe, but if you don't trust me, ask the blind man, 'cause he saw it all. Ask the blind man, 'cause he saw it all.
Appreciate that song, Brother Hoover. God bless you. Well, my wife asked me to sing this song as a special, but I'm not going to sing it as a special. I'm going to sing it, and you're going to help me. This is a song that's always been special to me. It's really my testimony. I sang this a long time ago, and God really did a work in my life. The first time I sang this song, I only sang the chorus, but since then, I have found the verses. This is 354. I believe you all know it, and you have to help me sing it. I know Brother Nathan's going to help me. Amen.
Will I have a soul of strength when I am weak? Oh, it takes me through when life is pressing me. Oh, I ooh.
Oh, and it dries all my tears. Oh, it's that blood that gives me strength from day to day. I know it will never lose its power. Oh, and it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. I know it will never lose its power.
Let's sing it again together tonight.
Oh, yes, it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day.
Give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, he's worthy of our praise. Amen. Amen. You love him tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms this evening. We want to pick back up on this thought of supremely blessed. Amen. I believe we are supremely blessed tonight. Psalms chapter 2. I'm going to get a couple weeks ahead of Brother Layton here. He's always getting ahead of me. So, and Brother Trevor, I thought he was going to get ahead of me tonight in his prayer, talking about depending on the Lord and things. And that's what we're going to look at tonight with the help of the Lord. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together tonight. Lord, we come before your throne again tonight, Lord, and we just thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to worship you together. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for, Lord, brothers and sisters of like precious faith, Lord, that could gather together and just rally around your word, Father. Lord, when people have things in common, it's something that they're excited about and they can talk about. If they have the favorite basketball player or favorite race car driver or favorite activity that they do, favorite hobby, they can rally around that and fellowship around it and discuss the different ins and outs of those type of things, Father. But Lord, we've got something that goes a little deeper than that type of fellowship tonight, even though we appreciate those that have natural things in common with us. But Lord, we have something in common from eternity. Lord, that we were a part of you before the foundation of the world. And when we get around brothers and sisters of like precious faith that have those licks of fire, Father, that My, when that iron begins to sharpen iron and we begin to sit together and fellowship around your word, truly we have something to fellowship about. We have something to be excited about and to rally around, Father. Lord, help us to lay aside our differences and to stand for the truth and to stand for the word in this hour, Lord. And Lord, instead of trying to pick apart things that we have not in common, Lord, may we focus on the many things that we have in common around your word. And Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for your presence that we feel here tonight, Lord, in the worship service. And Lord, we just commit the continuation of this service to you. May you take complete control. Every word that's spoken, every song that's sang, may it be pleasing to you, Father, for truly our desire is to please you tonight. Amen. Lord, we thank you for all that you do, all that we've seen you do, and Lord, all that you're continuing to do, Lord. And we just give you praise and glory and honor for the things that you've done, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. You can be seated. Blessed are they that put their trust in the Lord. I want to tell you tonight, if you trust in him, you're truly blessed. Amen. There are many people, they trust in their ability. They trust in their good looks or their good fortune. They trust in their finances or they trust in their job. They trust in their education. Those things are okay, but I don't want to put my trust in those things. I put my trust in the Lord. All of those things are temporal. I think I said it right this time. All those things are temporal. They'll fade away. No matter how good looking you are, as I've said before, by the time you make it to the nursing home, there's no attractive people in the nursing home. No matter how good looking you were back as a young man or a young woman, once you get there, all that has faded away. No matter how wealthy you are, at some point that'll fade away. Even if it's still sitting in the bank somewhere, when they put you in a casket and put you 6 feet under, it's not doing you a bit of good. All these type of things will fade away. But there's something that it's blessed to trust in him. And we're blessed tonight to trust in him because that's something that's eternal. I want to look at a little story that Brother Branham tells us in the sermon Job in 1955. It's just something simple about how he trusted the Lord in just a natural way, but I think it'll help us lay a foundation tonight for what we want to look at. He says here, some time ago down in Louisiana, Brother Moore here on the platform and I, we were going down, way down to some little city to a little church and have a meeting, and his beloved daughter and wife and all of them was along, and I had my suitcase that some folks give me many, many years ago over in California, and I just bought me a new suit. I had it in the suitcase and had an old one on, and he had it laying on the top of his car driving fast down through Louisiana. All at once when we got down there, we found out the suitcase wasn't on top. It was gone. I didn't even have a pocket handkerchief, so he was very much discouraged. I said, oh, the Lord will take care of that. All my wardrobe complete was in it beside my overalls at home. Oh, my. When I looked at my closet tonight, Sister Layton, it really got to me to think that everything that this man owned as far as the way of clothes was in one suitcase except for a pair of overalls at home. One of the most anointed men that ever walked in shoe leather, and he didn't have very much shoe leather to put in a suitcase. All of his wardrobe complete was in this one suitcase besides his overalls at home. So he said, Brother Branham, I'm going to go out and buy you a new suit. I said, no, it's all right. He goes on a little further. He begins to tell him, you know, it's going to be okay, Brother Moore. We'll just trust in the Lord. And Brother Moore says, he said, oh, no, Brother Branham said, if a sinner finds it, he'll sell the clothes. And if a Christian finds it, he'll cut those suits up and send them to one another for prayer cloths. Said, you haven't got a chance. So I said, we'll just trust in the Lord. Now, Brother Moore is looking at this from a very, you know, very correct standpoint. He had a good argument here. If a sinner finds him, he won't care, and he'll just sell the clothes to somebody. But Brother Branham said, my Bible's in there, and he said, it's got my name on it. Somebody might find it. He said, Brother Branham, even if they do, if it's a Christian, said, they'll just cut him up and give him away his prayer cloths. And he said, but we'll just trust in the Lord. He goes on a little further. He says, so he went over to Brother Brown's, and he was going to come out and was going to take me to get a suit of clothes. Just about the time Brother Brown come out, the phone rang. It was an old colored brother, called up and said, is Brother Branham there? Said, I's done found his suitcase. I's on my way. So I trust in the Lord, he says. Amen. Whatever it is, all things work together for good. You just can't lose when you become a Christian. You can't lose. Just trust in Him, and whatever the way goes, just keep your sails set to His Spirit. He will guide you into the harbor. It'll all be all right. Amen. Whatever you're facing tonight, trust in the Lord. Not only is He sometimes the absolute only thing that we can trust in, sometimes we trust in science, and sometimes we trust in medicine, we trust in doctors, and we trust in, you know, the amount of money in our checking account, all these things. But when all that is gone and every resource has been drained and everyone else tells us, sorry, there's no hope that we have for you, you don't have a chance. When the doctor says there's no chance, when the banker says there's no chance, when the lawyer says there's no chance, when everything else is done away with, yet if we would just go and recognize there's still a place that we can trust in. And when everything else, when all the shifting sands of circumstances and men's ideas are done away with, yet there's still a place that we can trust in. I believe it was David that said, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Some look to strength and some look to politics and some look to military powers, but all those things change. You look over just a few hundred years of history at the changes that we've had in political powers and different rises and falls and different nations and different groups and different things, and those that maybe one day it looked like they had almost conquered the entire world, and find them a few years later hardly nothing to claim for themselves. What is it? God is the one that's in control of this.
Amen.
Amen. I'm reading a book that I haven't read all of it, so I can't completely recommend it, but what I've read of it's pretty good so far. It's called The American Miracle, and it talks about how different things from the pilgrims landing on Plymouth Rock and different things that have taken place, that just God protecting our nation. And it goes through from about the landing of the settlers there on Plymouth Rock, and how even that, the hand of God was in it. They were trying to land on Manhattan Island, but storms blew them about 250 miles north of where they were supposed to be, and how the place that they landed, it was perfect, and the hand-selected man by God to come and help them, there was no other man like him in all the world, and all the different things that came about to take place, the hand of God and all those things. And I noticed it didn't go past 1956. This book doesn't. It stops throughout the Civil War, but Brother Branham said after 1956, he said she turned God away. Amen. They turned him away, and all the things, all the blessings that we had and all the providence of God that we had, now we see bombings and school shootings and different things taking place that you never saw before they turned God down. But I want to look at something here tonight as far as talking in the way of trusting in God. And George Washington, years before they had ever thought of having independence and pulling away from Britain, there was the French and Indian War, where the British army was fighting against the French and Indians, and George Washington was fighting in that battle and against them. And at the Battle of Monongahela, I think I'm pronouncing that right, but you forgive me if I'm not, he was there in the battle, and he was riding. He was one of 70 officers that rode into battle on horse. All the rest of them were just infantry marching and things like that, but there were 70 officers that rode into that battle on horse. And they were easy for the Indians to pick out and shoot because they were up higher than everybody else. 69 of those 70 officers were killed, but there was one man that survived by the name of George Washington. During that battle, 5 bullet holes would go through him, through his coat rather. 4 of them through his coat and 1 of them through his hat and knock off his hat. 5 bullets right around him, didn't touch him, didn't touch his skin at all. 2 horses would be shot out from under him, and he would finally stay on the third one for the rest of the battle. They were shooting all around him. And years later, in 1770, which was 6 years before even the Declaration of Independence, before this man was the chief of all the army of those that were rebelling against Britain, they were at a campfire one night, him and a doctor friend of his, and there was a trapper that came up to the campfire, and he had brought some Indians with him from miles away. They had heard that George Washington was in the area, and there was an elderly chief that wanted to meet with this man. And I'm just going to read you. It's called The Indian Prophecy, but this is what this Indian chief said of George Washington in 1770. He says, "I'm a chief and the ruler over many tribes. I've traveled a long and weary path that I might see the young warrior of the great battle." He's talking about the Battle of Monongahela years before. He said, "It was on the day when the white man's blood mixed with the streams of our forest, that I first beheld this chief. I called to my young men and said, mark yon tall and daring warrior. He's not of the red coat tribe. He hath an Indian's wisdom, and his warriors fight as we do. Himself alone is exposed. Quick, let your aim be certain, and he dies. Our rifles were leveled, rifles which before him knew not how to miss. 'Twas all in vain. A power mightier far than we shielded him from harm. He cannot die in battle. This is what this Indian chief is telling them. He cannot die in battle. I am old and soon shall be gathered to the great council fire of my fathers in the land of shades. But ere I go, there is something bids me speak in the voice of prophecy. Listen, he says. The Great Spirit protects that man and guides his destinies. He will become the chief of nations and of people yet unborn and hail him as the founder of a mighty empire. This is 6 years before the Declaration of Independence. He said this about this man. This man can't be killed in battle. They said in the Revolutionary War things would take place. And, you know, he would ride right out sometimes along the front lines to try to encourage his troops, and him on a horse and bullets flying all around. And the men would say, "How? I don't understand how it's possible." Men dropping all around him. One time he was riding along his troops and both sides fired from each side. He got caught in a crossfire between his own men and the other armies. And they said there was nothing but just smoke all around him, and said one of his dearest friends just dropped his head because he didn't even want to look and see what the outcome was. And here come Washington riding back up to him without anything wrong with him. And they would question, say, how can these things be? And the old doctor that was with him at the campfire that night would tell him, you remember the Indian prophecy that I told you? He can't be killed in battle. Now, I don't know how much stake George Washington put in that or not, but I know that he trusted in the Lord. And, you know, we've talked about Stonewall Jackson and different ones that they could ride right out into there into battle and not have any fear, because they knew that God had predetermined their time of death. And then we get so afraid and so upset sometimes going to the grocery store or something like that, think, oh, Lord, I just don't know if I can make it. God can protect you. You put your trust in God, he can take you through the battle. He can take you through the storm. You're safer walking with him than anywhere else you would be.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Yarbrough was telling me before service, he said, well, it's good to be back from wherever. And I said, well, knowing you, you know, it is wherever. You never know where he's going to be. He might be in Arizona, or he might be in Colorado, or he might be in Kansas or somewhere, but up into Canada or wherever. But, you know, he gets around a little bit for his age. But he said, but, you know, I find every time I go, wherever I go, he goes with me. I thought, that's right. What does it matter where we are, Brother Hoover?
Amen.
Amen. As long as he's with us. I put my trust in him tonight. Amen. He can take you through. You look at your circumstances. You look at some of the things going on around in politics and the economy and different things. And you sit and you watch some of these news channels, whichever one you pick, it's all bad news, whether it's Fox News or CNN or MSNBC or any of them. They don't have any good news to tell you. They want to tell you about who got killed and who got raped and who got robbed and what's going on dirty in politics and all these different things. There's no good news. It'll just discourage you. And if you look at that long enough, you'll begin to think, oh my, well, this is just, everything's going on terrible around us. How can we survive? Because we're not putting our trust in those things. We're putting our trust in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Nations will change. Governments will change. It might be a Democrat in the office 1 year and a Republican in office next year. All those things will change. And whatever you place your trust in, you better be careful where you put it in, because the winds of change and time can change those circumstances. But if you put your trust in the one that created the whole thing to begin with, he's unchangeable. Not only does he not change, Brother Hoover, he's unchangeable. He cannot change. Amen. You go down, you look at your car, maybe you could go out and buy you a brand new one tomorrow. 3 years, that'll have changed.
Right.
Amen. That brand new car that you bought, it's going to need tires, it's going to need brakes, it's going to need hoses and gaskets and all kinds of things in just a few years. You go down and marry a new husband or a new wife, you wait about 15 or 20 years, they'll have changed from what they were. Maybe when you married him, they didn't have any gray hair. But you look around about 10 or 15, 20 years later, things have changed. Why? There's nothing that's unchangeable but God.
Amen.
And his word, which they're the same. He is the word and the word is him. You look around at nature. Brother Bram said he came out and he said, well, here we have no continuing city. And he said he went back to see the old place where his, you know, where he grew up, and the trees that he thought would be standing, he said they were nothing but a snag. And his father that was so strong, and yet he thought he'd live to be, you know, maybe 100 or 150 years old, because he was the strongest little man he ever knew. And he said he died in his early 50s. And we look around and everything is constantly changing. For some of you that don't like change, it just about gives you a nervous breakdown. You know, every time we would go to a new building, it'd take you about 6 months to get used to that building, and then we'd be moving somewhere else anyhow. So some people can't stand change, but you better get used to it in this life, because there's only one thing that doesn't change. That's God and His Word.
Amen.
Everything else changes. Your job will change. Your circumstances will change. They might be terrible today. You might be looking here tonight and thinking, Brother Nathan, my finances and my health and all these things, look at these. Give it a while. It'll change. The circumstances will change. You say, oh my, Brother Nathan, I feel so good, and I feel so healthy, and I feel so great. I've got money in my checking account. For the first time, I was able to go through the month and not have to live from paycheck to paycheck. It haven't been like this in a while. Give it some time. It'll change. It's like the southern Indiana weather. You don't like it, you stick around long enough, it'll change, maybe just in a few days. You know, we go from the 90s to the 70s to the 50s, and it just changes all over. So if you just stick with us a while, you'll find a spot that you're happy for a little while. Everything changes, except for one thing, God and His unchangeable Word. Psalm chapter 31, verse 5, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Amen. Brother Bram says in Perfection in 1956, he says, you know, there's a lot of trials goes on down here, but there's somebody looking at them all the time. They love not their life unto death. Oh my, that ought to give us encouragement tonight. You might be facing a lot of trials tonight. You might have been going through a lot of different things in your life. Maybe your family. There's all kinds of things going on, all kinds of drama and all kinds of trials and all kinds of tribulation. But there's one that's looking down on it all the time.
Amen.
Amen. There's one that's watching over it, just as he stood there and he watched when the Hebrew children went into the fiery furnace. Oh my, it didn't matter how dark the situation seemed. What mattered was who was standing there watching over the situation. The same one that could watch over some of the things that took place in the natural, that could watch over the different battles and the different things, that could watch over the men as they crossed the frozen rivers there to cross the Delaware to fight the army on Christmas Day. And as they faced all these different trials and tribulations and perils and toils, yet God was watching over it, because He had a people and a nation that had to be here. He had a group of predestinated seed that some of those soldiers absolutely couldn't die, because their offspring, even though it might be great, 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 great grandchildren, was going to be a predestinated seed of God. They couldn't die in those battles. Maybe they hadn't even met their wife yet. Maybe they hadn't had that firstborn child that was going to bring forth a Hoover or a Layton or whatever it would be. They couldn't. They absolutely couldn't perish, because it would have changed God's predestinated plan, and He's unchangeable.
Amen.
He says, you know, there's a lot of trials goes on down here, but there's somebody looking at them all the time. They love not their life unto death. When poor old Amram, with his only beloved little child, little Jochebed, that had just nursed it to her bosom and then had to put it in the ark and push it out into the bulrushes. He said when the alligators were fat on little babies, there when she was standing there and the tears running down her cheeks, God said, come here, Gabriel. Come here a minute. Now we look many times on the scene in the natural, and we look, and maybe you as mothers or as fathers can place yourself in the shoes of Amram and Jochebed as they would stand there and hear this child that they had been brought into their home and their family, and this little baby, knowing what the government was doing at the time and killing these little children. And they knew they had to do something to protect this little baby, and they didn't know why. They They loved it just like any other mother or father, but just seemed like there was something special about this little baby. And they had to make a choice. They knew if they kept it in the house that eventually somebody would report them and say, you know, we heard a baby crying down here in Goshen at such and such an address over at the Levi residence over here. And you know, I know they've got some older children, but I heard some babies crying in there too, and you better go check it out. And they recognized there has to be something that we can do. And they begin to prepare this ark and to make it, and knowing that it might be the last resting place of this little baby. And no doubt they prayed and they cried, oh Lord, are we making the right decision over this child? And maybe there was a lot of discussions in the home. Amram said, Yochebed, this is what I definitely feel led to do, but honey, I just don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can turn him loose and send him out into the world like that. I don't know if I can let him go in this manner. And he said, oh, but honey, if he stays here, he's certain to die. But if we place him into God's hands, if we place him into God's hands, his hands are more capable than ours.
Yes.
His hands are more able than ours. Oh, we could try to trust in our own ability to keep the child quiet. We could try to trust in our own ability to hide him. But I want to trust in something higher than my ability. I want to trust in something higher than my intelligence. I'm going to place him back into the hands of Jesus.
Amen.
And here they dedicate him into this little ark, and they place him in the water, and they shove it up on the side, and they commit his little soul and body to Jehovah. There they stood with broken hearts. Maybe they'll never see this child again. Maybe they'll never even know if the child has survived. And they begin to say, oh, Miriam, run along as far as you can and see what the outcome is. Come back and tell us if a crocodile takes it under, or if some stranger picks it up, or what takes place. You just run along beside and bring back a report. Oh, I'd like to tell you tonight, there's something greater than a little 12-year-old child, or however old she was, running along beside us, bringing back a report. Maybe the doctors bring back a report and say, oh, there's not much hope. Maybe she can run back every 15 minutes. Oh, mommy and daddy, oh, it looks pretty bad. He just got into some rapids, and I don't know. Run back and bring me another report, though. And maybe she could run back and say, oh my, he just got into the biggest area where all the crocodiles feed. And oh my, we've heard all kinds of things on the news about people being ate by crocodiles in that area. And maybe she could have brought back bad news and bad news and bad news. But there's somebody that brings back a good report to the bride of Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. And he's been watching every little dip and every little crevice and every little time the boat almost capsized on you, and every time Satan would try to pull you under and would try to pull you aside. Under. He's watched you every step of the way, but he keeps bringing back a good report.
Amen.
There, when she was standing there and the tears running down her cheeks, God said, come here, Gabriel. Come here a minute. I want to show you something. I got somebody that really believes me. Amen. God, let me be that type of person that can say, God said so. It's right. Amen. That's my prayer tonight as well. And be so dead to anything else that it becomes a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Said, come here, Gabriel. All you angels, come here. I want to show you something. See that man down there with his hands up? Pushed his own baby out. I gave it to him. And now he's giving it back. I'll see that he keeps it. I'll see that he keeps it.
Glory.
Amen. Might have seemed like the hardest decision that they had ever made, but it was the best decision they'd ever made.
Amen.
Oh, God had gave the baby to them, but now they're going to give the baby back to him. He said, I'll see that he keeps it. Said, Gabriel, call 10,000 angels on marching orders. I want them out there. Gabriel sounded a little trumpet and it crossed the corridors of eternity. 10,000 armed angels walked down, said, string yourselves up and down the river. See that no alligator, nothing else is going to touch on that. It was give back to me. Oh, he gave those angels marching orders. I don't care how many crocodiles. I don't care how many Egyptian soldiers or how many midwives or whatever else would have come and tried to take that basket under or tried to harm it or tip it in any way. There was a 10,000 armed guard of angels lined up and down the riverbanks, and anything that had tried to harm it would have been just overturned. String yourselves up and down the river. See that no alligator, nothing else is going to touch on that. It was give back to me.
Amen.
You see, this was a predestinated baby.
Right.
God had a plan for this baby. God was going to use this baby to deliver his people. And it didn't matter how much Satan huffed and puffed and what Satan tried to do and how many wrenches that Satan tried to throw in the gears and how many times he tried to harm things up. God had his hand on this baby.
All right.
God had a plan for this little life, even though it was small and unable to protect itself, yet God was protecting it. Even though it was small and maybe too little to have faith for itself, yet God was watching over it.
Amen.
And here he watches it go down through there, and these angels stand round about and protect it. And we think sometimes, oh my, I just don't know if I can make it. Don't you realize when you get in your car and you drive down some of these highways and semi-trailers swaying back and forth and cars cutting in and out around you and people with road rage that would shoot you in a heartbeat, that many times God says, you know what? I have a plan for their life. I have a plan for their life. I have a plan for their children. And they're going to be traveling on the road today. And you angels, you just guide round about them.
Right.
Oh, my. And maybe even if they get upset, maybe because their car's not working the way that it should. And if the engine won't start and they're delayed, you just keep it delayed until I get this accident prevented up here.
All right.
To protect them from hurt. You just do whatever you got to do to protect them. Oh, my. Let them run out of gas if they have to before that semi topples over. You do whatever you got to do. I know they might get frustrated and they might not understand it all right away, but I'm going to protect them because I have a plan.
Amen.
For them.
Amen.
String yourselves up and down the river. See that no alligators, nothing else is going to touch on that. It was give back to me. Gabriel said, Lord, chief captain, where are you going to be? I'm going to be at the end of the line. I'm going to receive down there. I'm waiting at the end of the line. I know right where it's headed. Lord, what do you mean you're going to be at the end of the line? The winds could take that anywhere. Somebody could pick it up anywhere. The alligators could try to knock it off on this side anywhere. How are you going to be at the end of the line? I know right where it's going.
Right.
I know who's going to find it. I know what's going to take place. I know what he's going to be when he's 40. I know what he's going to be when he's 80. I know what he's going to be when he's 120. I've already seen it all, and I'm going to be right there at the end of the line waiting for him. I want to tell you tonight, that's more than just something for a prophet of the Old Testament many thousand years ago. But he looked down through time, and he saw your life. What are you saying tonight, Brother Nathan? I'm saying we can trust in him. Because he already knows about the situation. He knew about it long before we even ever thought about being here on the earth. He knew about it, and he was already waiting on the end of the line to receive us, whatever we were going to go through. And he had angels protecting us and guiding us each step of the way through every fiery trial, through every temptation, through every snare of the enemy, through every time that an accident would try to come our way. He had an angel there guiding and protecting. And every time Satan would knock and say, God, let me take him in a car wreck. God, let me take him out here. Let somebody shoot him. Let him do this. He would say, this is what I'll allow you to do and no more.
Right.
I love the fact that my greatest enemy has to come and ask my daddy for permission before he can do anything to me, Brother Hoover. And if God allows him to do it, then it's for my good and for his glory.
Amen.
You say, then Brother Nathan, should we just go around and pray and ask God to send trials? Absolutely not. Don't be that foolish. But if God really sends one, then be able to praise him even in the middle of the trial.
Amen.
I don't stand out here and say, Lord, please send a storm and thunder and a hurricane. But if one comes, I'm able to say, God, I'm trusting in you to protect my home, to protect my church, to protect my children and my wife and my family. I'm trusting in you. You've brought us through before. You can bring us through again.
Amen.
I'm going to be down there to receive. That's the same thing he does today when a man puts his trust in the Lord Jesus. Confesses his sins. The Holy Ghost takes a hold of that man. And Christ stands at the receiving end.
Amen.
Though through many whirlpools, you know, sometimes you all make fun of me because I just come up with these random songs and things. But Brother Bannon did it too, you see. He said, though through many whirlpools and alligators and scary spooks and everything else, we come through. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. You see where he's going with it. It's grace that brought me safe this far. It's grace that will take me on. It's grace that brought you this far. It's his grace that allowed you to be sitting here tonight. It's his grace that every one of us isn't in a coffin 6 feet under somewhere. It's his grace that he's able to protect us and to watch over us. It's his grace that leads us and watches us. It's His grace that has upheld us even in the worst of storms, in the worst of battles, when Satan would try to discourage you, when he'd try to lie to you, when maybe he'd even try to get you to take your own life. It wasn't you that kept you. It was Him that kept you. It wasn't your own ability. It wasn't your own wisdom. It was Jesus Christ that kept you through times when you couldn't keep yourself. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Brother Nathan, aren't you worried about this? Aren't you worried about that? Well, sometimes my flesh gets worried, but whenever I take a good look and take a step back and get my flesh calmed down and begin to look into the Word of God, I recognize He's the one controlling this. He's the one that's got all this in control. If I just trust in Him, I'll be safe. If I just put my trust in Him, I'll be okay. I can't explain to you what the outcome will be. I can't explain to you just how everything's going to happen. Oh, I'm sure we'll have more trials. I'm sure that, you know, sometimes we'll get sick and God will come along and heal us and patch us up. I'm not saying it's going to be a flowery bed of ease. I'm saying that He'll take care of us. I'm not promising that, you know, that this thing's going to be a picnic. He never invited us to a picnic. He invited us to a battle. But the same one that invites us to the battle arms us and makes us ready and gives us what we have need of for the battle and is able to bring us through victorious. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Maybe you've got a favorite restaurant. Maybe you've got a favorite food. Maybe your wife fixes you something and it's just your favorite dish or your favorite dessert or whatever it is. And my, you have some company over or you invite them out to that restaurant. They say, oh my, what do you recommend? Oh, taste and see that the coconut pie is good. Or, oh, taste and see that the key lime pie is good. I got Brother Trevor thinking about Johnson City already tonight. There's a little place there, a little diner that he says has the best key lime pie in the world. I don't know. I don't like key lime pie, but I'll take his word for it. But if you was there with Brother Trevor and you liked key lime pie, he would say, oh, taste and see that the key lime pie is good. You ain't never had a key lime pie like this. But the real bride of Jesus Christ, when they find somebody in trouble and when they find somebody searching and when they find somebody in need, they say, oh, taste and see. Yeah. Oh, taste and see. Jack Daniels can never do what this can do for you. Drugs and alcohol and nicotine can never do what this can do for you. Maybe you've tried to quench your holy thirst and that taste that God gave you for Him. You've tried to quench it with other things. Maybe you've tried to quench it with pornography, or maybe you've tried to quench it with needles in your veins or with tobacco or whatever it would be. And none of it gave you any long-term satisfaction. Oh, maybe you got a quick fix or a quick high, but a few minutes later you was feeling worse than you did in the first place and just longing for something more. But taste and see. This is good. Amen. This doesn't leave you with a migraine the next day. It doesn't leave you with withdrawals. Now, what it will leave you with, though, it will, like a lot of things that you get addicted to, it'll leave you with a craving for more. And the more you taste, the more you want some more, Brother Darrell. The more you attend church, there's something about when the Holy Spirit comes, you just think, oh my, I can't wait to get back Wednesday night. Oh my, I can't wait to get another taste. I can't wait. Oh my, those five chapters I read yesterday was good, but I can't wait to have another taste. That tape I listened to yesterday was sure encouraging, but I can't wait to get another taste. Oh, it's good tonight, friends. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalms chapter 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Amen. Stop trying to do everything on your own, work everything out on your own, figure it all out on your own. Trust in Him. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He said He'd give you the very desires of your heart. Amen. He didn't just promise us our needs. He said He'd give us the desires of our hearts. That's why we should stay prayed up so many times. We, if we're not careful, our desires gets out of His will. But when our desires come in unison and come in that same line and balance with His will, and we begin to think, Lord, you know my heart. I'm not wanting this. As Brother Bram was talking about earlier this morning, how he said, look at your motives and your objectives. Is it something that you're wanting it to be something selfishly for yourself? Or is it something that you've got the right motives and the right objectives? When your motives and objectives get in line with His will, then just trust in the Lord. Commit thy ways unto him and he'll bring it to pass. You say, but the doctor said this and brother so-and-so over here said this and this one over there said that. No offense to them. I don't care what they said. I'm trusting in him. And he said he'd bring it to pass. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, Solomon, with this inspiration that he's getting from his father David's words, he begins to speak and he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Yes. Oh, if we could just obey this right here. If this is the only thing you take away from the service tonight, we'd be a lot better off. If we could just obey this right here. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Oh, but this is going on, that's going on. There's this situation around the message and this situation in politics. And I got this relative that's over here sick and this relative over here that's not serving the Lord. And I just don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I don't know how to do this and I don't know how to do that. I don't know who to turn to or where to go to. Trust in the Lord.
Amen.
With all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Don't try to figure it all out. But in all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. Many times we fail to acknowledge him. We want to pat ourselves on the shoulder and give ourselves some credit and say, look what a good job I did. But we fail many times to acknowledge him. Amen. I like this. You know, I love the fact that we can look into the message and a lot of the same things and the same questions and the same type of things that people are going through now. We can look right back into 64 and 65 and 57 different places and find people going through the same things. And when these people ask Brother Bram this sincere question, maybe you're not trying to sell a house, maybe it's something else, but I think we can apply this same thing to whatever you're trying to do in your life. Questions and answers number two in 1964, they ask him, why can't we sell our house? Thank you. P.S. We have prayed and fasted to sell it, yet no results. They're trying to sell their house. They ask the prophet of God this question. They weren't asking him the details of how it's going to be in the millennium, although they could have. That's what they could have wrote in their question. They weren't asking him what the chemicals is going to make up our theophany or some great deep doctrinal question that only he could have answered. But they have a specific need in their life. And it's something that's important to them for that specific time. And they came and they had this opportunity to ask a question. And a prophet of God picks up the card and he reads it. And it says, we've tried to sell our house. And it won't sell. We've fasted, we've prayed, we've done everything we know to do on our end. Can you tell us as a prophet of God why we can't sell our house? He says, if your objective is right, you're trying to buy a home, if you've got children or something like that, you want to get them a better home or something. I don't know what it's all about, but I'd say this. If you're trying to sell it and fasting and trying to sell it, then commit it to the Lord and forget about it. Now, maybe you're not trying to sell a house tonight. I don't know. Maybe you are. Maybe you're trying to sell a car. Maybe you're trying to make ends meet. Maybe you're praying about a job opportunity. Maybe you're praying about where to send your children to school. Maybe you've got something and you've just sought God and sought God and sought God. And you've prayed and you've tried to find his will about it. He said, commit it to the Lord and forget about it. He didn't say, pace the floors till 4 a.m, bite your fingernails till they bleed and don't get any sleep and be restless and toss and turn. Commit it to the Lord and forget about it. Easier said than done, Brother Nathan. That's right, but trust in the Lord. See, because it might be that God, you might move in somewhere else and it might not be right, see? If you're a Christian and trust in the Lord, because you surely are, or you wouldn't be fasting and praying, see? So I'd just commit it to the Lord. Amen. Maybe you're facing a test. Maybe you're facing something at school, or maybe you've got to go fill something out. Trust in him. Commit it to the Lord. Amen. He's able. Brother Bram said, oh my, there's so much cheating and things like that in school. He said, we'd be a lot better off if we just come around the dinner table and say, you know, I've got this test that I'm facing and I'd like for you to pray for me. You know, we've had some of the young people and things when they was facing finals and things come up and stand in the prayer line and say, we've got a final test that we're studying for and we want prayer. I respect them for that. Amen. Amen. That's what we should do. Hey man, some of us adults would be a lot better off if we would take things to God like that. Just commit it to God. Then don't worry about it. Don't stress about it. Do your part and then commit it to God. Some of the young people are saying, oh, praise God, I don't have to study anymore. I'll just come up for prayer. No, you do your part and then you commit it to God. You know, I know they say, don't tell me what he meant, tell me what he said. But I want to remind you of something that Brother Branham said this morning and show you some balance on it. He said education was the worst thing, that it caused more problems with the gospel than anything else. But yet in the same sermon, he said he was sending his daughter to school. He wasn't contradicting himself. Amen. He got his children an education. But many times when you look at those things, he's talking about when they mixed education with religion. And they wanted to send him off and indoctrinate him in a Bible college for 5 years and then go make missionaries out of him. He said, my, the candle's half burnt down before you even send it out. He said, when the candle gets lit, just go and tell somebody. You don't have to go and get a DD or an LD or a PhD or whatever to go talk about God. Now, there's certain jobs that you might have to have those type of degrees for. Maybe you'd have to go to school for that, but not to go to talk about somebody about the Word of God. In fact, many times those things have just confused you if you're going to go be a missionary or something, more than they would help you. But yet there's places and times and things that people need those type of degrees for that. He said, I don't endorse ignorance. You know, he wasn't trying to tell people to stay home and don't go to school. He was saying that don't try to get your schooling and your education so much that it takes your focus off of God, trying to mix the two together and figure out God by your education. It'll never work. Paul had to forget all that he learned to learn more about God. That didn't mean he walked around and didn't know how to read and write after that. It meant that he didn't try to compare his reading and writing and arithmetic to what God's word was saying. Amen. He didn't beat his brains out trying to figure out with an intellectual conception. Moses, there, as we was talking about him earlier, he was, when the waters pushed him right down through and those angels guiding it, and it bumped right up along the side of Pharaoh's daughter's or Pharaoh's sister's swimming pool, and she went down and got this little baby out, and she began to look at him and said, oh my goodness, look at this beautiful little baby. And God had Satan raise him in his own house and pay for his tuition and pay for his food and rose him right up under the nose of the devil. Amen. I love it when the Lord does something like that. And all the things that he learned in Pharaoh's house when he sent him to go and take over Egypt, all his military learning and all his education and all that, God said, I'm not using any of it. It's okay that you got it, Moses. I'm not against you for that. But we're not using your military tactics. We're using my tactics.
All right.
If you're a Christian and trust in the Lord, because you surely are, you wouldn't be fasting and praying. He says, see, so I just commit it to the Lord. Say now, Lord, when your time for us to sell it, you'll send a buyer. Then it's committed to the Lord. Take your hands off it and go ahead. I believe it'll work.
Amen.
Amen. I think we can apply that same principle to anything in our life. You praying for your children. Lord, I see them getting around worldly friends, and I see them doing this, I see them doing that. Pray for them is the best thing you can do. If you see a family member you're trying to witness to, pray for them. It's the best thing you can do. And then just live a life around them that they would actually want what you've got. When you jump down their throat and try to quote to them 50,000 miles an hour and they don't have a bit more idea what you're talking about than nothing, you'll just push them away further if you're not careful. But when you live that life in front of them, that they see that you respond differently than some of their worldly friends, and you respond differently than some of their nominal friends, when things begin to take place and they see that there's something real down on the inside of you that they would want, that's the best thing you can do. Pray for them and live a life in front of them. Commit them to God and say, God, I'm doing my part, but it's going to take you. Amen. I can't save anybody tonight. I can't save anybody tonight. But I'm trusting in him that he'll save my loved ones, that he'll bring them in. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Now, I know some of you sisters, I just lost you on this verse right here, and you thought, oh my, I better not trust in the Lord. But let's look at what this word means. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. This is a Hebrew word, doshein, which means to become prosperous or to anoint. He says in Psalm chapter 40, verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. May, O Lord, my God, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered.
Amen.
His thoughts to you. Not just his thoughts. His thoughts to you are more than can be numbered.
Amen.
His concern for you, his love for you, his appreciation for you, the things that he had to put in place just to keep you alive and serving him and breathing in a pew this evening, sitting here tonight, the things that he had to do to get you here are more than can be numbered.
Amen.
His thoughts of you from before the foundation of the world, when he looked down through time, and Brother Branham said, God has a picture of you that he had in eternity. And oh my, it was you at your best. I don't think he was just talking about your shoulders and your muscles and your arms and all that. He was talking about spiritually he saw you when he was at your best. And he tapes that Polaroid up on the refrigerator of heaven. And he says, that's my son.
Right.
That's my daughter. I'm so glad he sees me that way, Brother Yarborough.
Amen.
I'm so glad he didn't look at me when I was at my worst. I'm so glad he doesn't look down at me through all my mistakes and failures and look and say, oh my, I guess I just need to give up on him. But he keeps looking back to that picture he has on a magnet. Amen. On his refrigerator and says, that's my son.
Amen.
That's him. That's him at his best. That's what he looks like. That's what he looks like in my eyes. Oh my, his thoughts to us are more than can be numbered. Psalm 84 verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Psalm 115 verse 11, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Amen, he's our shield tonight. Whatever you're facing tonight, maybe you've tried to figure it out, you've tried to plan it out, he's your shield tonight. He's the one that goes before you and protects you. When they would go into battle, you remember the story there in the book of Samuel when they came down and the men of Jabesh-Gilead sent to Saul and said, Saul said, oh my, you got to come and help us because there's this king that's come up against us and he's only given us a few days to make a decision, and either he's going to come in and wipe us out or he's going to put out all of our right eyes. Now, the reason this was so important was because when they went out, most of them were right-handed. And so they would hold the shield with their left hand in battle, and they would look out around that shield with their right eye, Brother Hoover, and they would fight that way with their right hand. And he wanted to put out all their right eyes so they couldn't fight anymore because they'd be blind in that eye. Brother Bram said, that's your spiritual eye. Said, Satan wants to put that out. He wants to blind you. Amen. But God is our shield that goes before us. Whatever we would go to, whatever we would go into, when the Hebrew children went into that fiery furnace, it was all right because they had a shield that went before them.
Amen.
Protecting them and keeping them safe. Psalm 118 verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Maybe you've got a lot of friends. Maybe you've got friends that are in power in politics, or maybe they're rich or whatever they are. Maybe they've been a help to you. There's no friend like him that you can put your trust in. There's no man like him that you can put your trust in. I don't care how good, how holy, how righteous, how smart, how wise, whatever they are. Man will fail you in some way, but there's one that if you put your trust in him, he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you, he'll never fail you. Psalm 125 verse 1, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people for henceforth, even forever. Jeremiah picks it up in Jeremiah 17, verse 7. He said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is it the Lord is. Amen. Amen. The Lord is around his people, David said, like Mount Zion. Like a group of mountains around protecting them from the invading enemies. You remember, we looked at it here a while back, the Hebrew children, when they went into the fiery furnace, and even the men that was leading them up to that fiery furnace, the intense heat killed them and they laid there dead. But here these men just kept on walking and kept walking and began to go right into the heat of the fire. And as they began to step in there, that Brother Bram said they was in there for 3 hours. They didn't smell like smoke. Their clothes didn't get singed. Their hair didn't get singed. They was in there for 3 hours. But God was their shield. God was their banner around about them. God was their protection. God was a mountain that was surrounding them from all harm, from all danger, even from the temperature of the flames of fire. He had to somehow come on the scene and change the very molecules and things in the atmosphere around them to be able to protect them. There's not a, oh my, today they've got all kinds of things, the foam sprays and different type of rubberized material and things that firemen wear when they go into places to try to protect them from the flames and try to keep the heat and things away from them as long as they can. But there's none of them that could stand right in the middle of a fiery furnace for 3 hours and not be harmed. But God came in on the scene and protected him. Even though the king had said, any that won't bow, they'll be killed. Any that won't bow, they'll be cast into there. And it looked pretty bleak for them, but they weren't trusting in Nebuchadnezzar and his law. They weren't trusting in his armies. They weren't trusting in his ability or even his power politically. He had every ability politically to place them in there, but he couldn't kill them until God was ready for him to die.
Amen.
He had the political power to order them placed inside of there, but he couldn't kill them until God was ready for him to die. All of his efforts, he was doing everything he could to kill it, but my, you can't kill the Holy Ghost. You can't burn it out. You can't boil it out. You can't hang it out. You can't do nothing. Oh, my. They tried in the fiery furnace. They tried down there when they burned him at the stake through the dark ages. They tried to boil it out of St. John when they put him in that boiling oil and they left him there for about a day or two. And there he sat and he was just singing psalms and praising. And they thought, oh, my, he bewitched the oil, I guess. No, it was the Holy Spirit changed the molecules in the oil.
Amen.
I can't explain it scientifically here. It was bubbling all around him, but right around him in there, somehow God placed a protecting shield. If he can do that, what can he do for you tonight?
Amen.
Here they came through and they stood there in the fiery furnace for 3 hours. And finally the king said, oh my goodness. He said, something's going on. He said, I'm pretty sure there was only 3 men that was standing out there. And we placed all 3 of those in. But he said, I see a 4th man in there with them. And he looks like the Son of God. Now, I don't know how he knew what the Son of God looked like, but he had enough spiritual wisdom to know a little bit about what he was talking about. And he brought him out. Usually, you know, in our little Bible stories and the Sunday schools and the children's Bible stories, the story just stops right there. But I want to read on a little further tonight. Daniel chapter 3, verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. Oh my, they were delivered because they were trusting in him. They weren't trusting in Nebuchadnezzar. They weren't trusting in their clothes to be a fire retardant. They were trusting in him.
Right.
His servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Here, it looked like certain death, but they said, even if it takes our own bodies, even if it takes our own lives, we're going to yield our lives. We're going to yield our bodies. We're going to yield everything we are. We won't serve any other god but him. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. He's quickly changed his story. A few minutes ago, he said, anybody that won't bow to this image over here, we're going to cast him into a fiery furnace. But now he says, anybody that won't bow to this God over in the fiery furnace, anybody that says anything about this God that protected these men in the fiery furnace, we'll cut them in pieces. He found out the fire didn't work, so they were going to try a different punishment this time. Oh, my. Anybody that says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. And their houses shall be made a dunghill because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort.
Amen.
Oh, I want to remind the devil tonight, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort.
Amen.
Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They came out of the fire and the whole political thing changed. As far as the religious realm of their nation that they lived in, here it was going to be the worship of a man, the worship of an idol that Brother Bram said was made in the image of Daniel, and the king had made this decree, and it was certain death, but they went out and stood for God, and the whole thing changed the whole nation, changed all of politics, changed the way the people worship. He said, if anybody says anything negative about their God, we'll cut them into pieces. Oh, and not only that, but we're going to promote them. We're going to promote them and give them a better position. Oh, my. God can change what looks like your worst day into your best day like that.
Amen.
God can change what looks like the absolute worst circumstances in the world. And then he can just shine a little bit of spiritual light on it to where you can see the whole picture. And you recognize what looked like the very worst thing in the world for me was the protective hand of Jehovah protecting me from something that I would have got into if it hadn't been for that thing standing in my way. Many times if we're not careful, we get frustrated. And that's just our human nature. We get frustrated because this is going wrong and that's going wrong. But if God could just shine a spiritual spotlight down and see all the angels standing around saying, don't let him do that. Don't let her do that. Don't let him go do that today. There's going to be a danger. There's going to be a catastrophe. There's going to be something come up. Trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Even when everything seems like it's going wrong, it's going exactly right. It's going exactly right. Even when it seems like everything is falling apart around you, God has a reason for it to take place. He's got it going exactly in order. It seemed like for Amram and Jochebed there that just it was just the most terrible thing that they could ever do was to place this little baby into a basket and send it out into the river after the crocodiles. But it was the very best decision they ever made, placing him back into God's hands. What seemed like the worst day of their life, here it takes him right into the king's palace. And a lady comes and knocks on the door, says, "Excuse me, we heard that you're a nursing mother, and we've got this little baby that the princess found over here. She needs a nursing mother. She wants to pay you $300 a week to come and nurse your own baby. Would that be all right with you?" "Sure, I'll take the job. And I'll teach him about Jehovah while you're teaching him all this other garbage. And get paid to do it, Brother Hoover." God just turned the situation around. It seemed like the worst thing that could happen. And God said, "Nope, this is the way it is." Right. What did he do? He just shone a little bit of light on the picture. That was his plan all along, but they didn't know his plan. Many times we look and we see and we just walk in the light that we see. And we take a step and we're careful to make sure we're on solid ground. We feel like it's the will of the Lord. We take another step very carefully. And God maybe just shining you just enough light to take the next step and the next step. But he sees way on down the road and he's waiting on the end to receive you at the other end of the line. Amen. Oh my, what a blessed people we are tonight. Brother Branham says, "Every promise in the book is yours." In Faith in 1956, he says, "Every amen and yea is yours." What you got to be worried about? Even old age, it shouldn't have a thing to do with it. Sickness has nothing to do with it. God promised, and God has to keep his promise. See, what we're trying to do is get the scare away from you. What are you trying to do tonight, Brother Nathan? I'm trying to get the scare away from you. Amen. Satan wants to scare you and say, "Well, what about this? And what if this happens? And what if this changes in politics? And what if you lose your job? And what if this takes place over here? And what if that takes place over there? And how are you going to make ends meet? And how are you going to do this? And what about your children in this situation?" And trust in him.
Amen.
Get the scare away from you. "Oh my, I've got a bruise." And Brother Ram said that, you know, a cancer can come from a bruise. "Oh Lord, I hope when I have a bruise, oh, I got a spot on my face. Oh, I got a mole. Maybe it's a cancer. Maybe it's this." Get the scare away from you.
All right.
What did he say? We read it the other night. He said, "You say you've got the Holy Ghost and you're cooking on the skillet." And he said, "Grease pops out." And he said, "If you just shake it off and keep going, the grease wouldn't even burn you." Amen. I believe it tonight. Amen. What are you trying to do, Brother Nathan? I'm trying to get the scare away from you.
All right.
When that snake jumped up and bit St. Paul, he could have ran and jumped and screamed and, "Oh my, I guess I'm just dead. I guess I'm just dead." But he just shook it off and kept going. Everything that all of their natural science could tell them, everything that they could look at from every tribe's member that had ever been bitten by one of those snakes, they said, "He's a dead man within just a little bit." And there he just kept on gathering sticks and getting things ready for the meal and began to go about the campfire and different things. And they looked at him a few days later and they said, "You know what? This man's a god." They went from saying he's a murderer to saying he's a god. Why? Because they recognized that God was in him, because it was more than a man that could do that, to just shake it off and keep going. What is it? Get the scare away from you. Trust in him. Amen. He's the one that's keeping my heart pumping in my chest right now. Amen. If it wasn't for him, he's the one that's given me each breath that I take. Every breath that I take, every drink of water that I take is only because he's allowed me to have it. Oh, many times we forget to give him the glory. There's people over in other countries, they have to go down to an old muddy stream and drink muddy, polluted water. That's all they've got. It's that or die. You say, "Oh, I wouldn't want to drink no muddy water." Well, if you got thirsty enough, you would. And we get triple purified, all kinds of cleaned up and water that they charge you for, that when Brother Layton was a little kid, he would have probably laughed if you said, "One someday we're going to pay to drink a bottle of water." He'd say, "I'll never pay for water. I'll just go over to the tap and get it, or get it out of a water fountain where it's free." But what do we do today? We pay for it. And it's filtered and supposed to be better for us and all this different stuff. But how do I have it? Because he's allowed me to have it. How did I have the money to buy this cup of water? Because he allowed me to, Brother Hoover. Amen. How was I born and predestinated to live in a country that would have even something like this instead of been drinking out of an old muddy pond somewhere? Because he allowed it.
Right.
Amen. How are we privileged to sit in a church building like this and worship God in spirit and in truth? Because he allowed it. Amen. Because he brought us to this.
Amen. If he was able to do all that and bring you from where you came and get all the generations in line to bring you and produce you in the way to produce the image that he had of you from before the foundation of the world, if he can do all that, whatever these other things that you're facing in your life tonight, trust in him.
Amen.
He can take you further. Amen. May God help us just to move the scare away tonight. Amen. God bless you. If the musicians would come this evening, let's just worship him together. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our trust. Amen. Let's sing this together. You help me tonight. Amen. This is how I feel tonight. Oh, why should I feel discouraged? Or why should the shadow it again tonight.
his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches. Oh, yes, I know.
Amen. You believe that tonight? Amen. Why should we worry? Why should we be afraid? If he's watching over a little sparrow, how much more does he care about you? Amen. If he feeds the crows out here, how much more does he care about you and what you have need of? Amen. We can trust in him tonight. Amen. Let's sing this together. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Oh, he put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. That's why I put my life in his hand. Oh, all I'm facing, put my life in his hands. So every road I walk on, I'm sure is in his plan. I put my life in his hand. Oh, 'cause I know he's got it all. Every circumstance you're facing, he's got it all in control. Oh, he put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all. Oh, let's sing it to him again together. He's got it all. Got it all in control. Oh, he put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. Amen. Help me sing this tonight. Oh, so many times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. Oh, so many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. Oh, but it's then I'm reminded never been forsaken. Lord, I've never had to stand one test alone. As I look at all the victories, his spirit rises up in me. For it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. Let's stand and sing it tonight. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, your hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help will always come in time. Oh, just remember when you're standing in that valley of decision, that old adversary said, but if I'll trust the hand of God, he'll shield the flames again.
are standing in that valley of decision. That old adversary says, give in. Church, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. Oh, I know within myself that I would surely perish. Oh, but if I'll trust the hand of God, he'll shield the flames again. 'Cause he never promised that the cross would not get heavy, that your hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help was gonna come on time. Oh, so just remember when you're standing in that valley of decision, that old adversary said, let's just bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, maybe there's many that are facing trials. Lord, maybe some of them are fiery trials. Maybe it's physical. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's spiritual, Lord. Maybe it's some type of a temptation or an addiction, Father. Lord, may you just come on the scene, grant deliverance, grant victory, Father. May your sweet Holy Spirit just move back all the scare from the people, Lord, and build their faith, encourage their hearts, Father, just to trust in you. Help them to recognize whatever they're facing, whatever they're going through, Lord Jesus, that they can trust in you. Lord, they may not be able to trust in anything else. Medical science may have gave them up. Their finances may have run out. They may have reached their very end, Father. But Lord, that's when you're standing there waiting with open arms to receive us. Waiting at the end of the line, Father, when all hope is gone. The very darkest of hour, but your prophet said that's when Jesus comes along. Lord, help us not to give up hope. Help us not to give up courage, Father, but help us to take courage. Help us not to be discouraged, Father, but help us to be encouraged by your word, Father. Help us to trust in you more than we've ever trusted in you. Lord, we're dependent on you tonight. Lord, for every aspect of our life, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, we're dependent on you. Lord, we don't put our hopes and our trust and our dependency in the things of man that are shifting as the sands of the sea. But Lord, we're depending on you tonight, Father. We love you tonight. We thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, when I think back of the many testimonies that we've had recently, healings and miracles and lives being changed, Father. Oh, Lord, we could have a testimony service here right now tonight just to give you praise and glory and honor to all the things that you're doing for us, Lord. We love you tonight. We thank you. We give you praise. We magnify your name, Lord. Lord, may you be lifted up before the people. Lord, you said if you were lifted up, you would draw all men to you, Father. Lord, we magnify your name. We praise you. We worship you. We love you tonight, Father. Thank you for all that you're doing for us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you tonight, Father. We put our trust, our hopes, our confidence, all that we are, Father, we put it in you, Father. Lord, we're dependent on you to take us through. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Brother Furman sang this the other night, and our family's been singing it ever since. Amen. Why don't somebody help me testify tonight? Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody. Church, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. For my God, I'll live. For God, I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify.
ought to praise his name. Oh, somebody ought to praise his name. For my God I'll live, for God I'll die. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody ought to testify. Oh, somebody.
Shake somebody's hand tonight.
Somebody